This is an unrehearsed interview with Orlin Corey, a professor of speech at Georgetown College, 1952 to 1959, by Glenn Tall, archivist. The interview took place in the Enzer Learning Resource Center of Georgetown College on September 9th, 2002. And this is one of those critical points in Georgetown's history, is the proposal to move the campus from its traditional spot to Louisville. And what were from your knowledge, what were the circumstances surrounding that, and how did it come about?
Well, Glenn, since this is September the 9th in 2002, I have some small confusion of overlaying things I now know against things that I remembered and knew at that time, when that was happening in the 50s. So it's a difficult one to respond to fairly, to you or the subject. So I'm going to wander between then and now. I now know that there was great interest among some of the prominent Baptist ministers and some individuals in their churches, mm-hmm. but specifically three or four Baptist ministers in Louisville in the 50s who agreed amongst themselves that it was a shame, and many of them spoke out about this, that this was the population center of the state, which had the greatest concentration of Baptists, as well as the general public, of any location in the state, but did not have a single Baptist educational institution there, apart from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And at the same time, the Baptists of Jefferson County, I'm now summing it up as what they were thinking and saying in different ways, were paying a high percentage of whatever they gave the Cooperative Program for education, which always went out of the city, and their young people had to go out to benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little of that issue is in secular history between, you know, why should we pay for this school when we don't have anybody going to it?
Yeah.
Which is short-sighted in the secular sense.
Yes.
Maybe in the other sense too, I don't know. But there was some of that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people were also on the board at Georgetown College. And some of them, not necessarily the same people, so you see, I'm giving you a very sort of out-of-focus summary.
Mm-hmm.
And I need lots of papers here to be more specific on names. We're also on the State Education Commission, which may not be the right term for the General Associations or Kentucky Baptist Convention, whatever they style themselves now,
right.
For that committee, which in effect administers the properties, educational properties, that mm-hmm. the convention owns. But some of them had dual responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so it came about that Georgetown was seeking a new president. Some of these people were on that board.
So this is like in the 54?
This would be 1950. Well, could have started the search in 53.
Okay.
Very likely, because Dr. Hill left early in 53. There was an interim with Dr. Romy Judd.
Right.
But somewhere in that time, see, I'm not a close on that. A couple of the ministers who had this feeling about education and Louisville, Baptist education in Louisville, were also on that committee because they were Georgetown trustees to search for a president who would then be also ratified, presumably, by the state board. I didn't realize until recently, but apparently there's sort of a dual board, or there's a junior board that had the local responsibility, but they were approved, apparently. The board members were approved by the larger committees.
Right.
Sort of a dual control, which is interesting. I didn't know that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they were involved in that. Now their point of view, basically, as I understand it now, and as it came to be perceived then gradually, because there was no public announcement of this,
mm-hmm.
These were thoughts expressed in sermons and public statements in Louisville to their congregations about their anxiety. There's a basis for saying that about what I'm speaking of, the inefficiency of their giving money to what they didn't get benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
But basically their ideal was to consolidate the educational resources of the state.
Mm-hmm.
State Baptist is what I mean when I say state. And to re-evaluate these in terms of efficiency and costs and all other criteria that would be appropriate, to the end that there would be a consolidation so that resources could be brought together and marshaled in a way that would then contribute to the founding of a larger Baptist educational institution in the state.
Okay.
And a number of them naturally wanted this to be in Louisville for the reasons already stated.
Right.
I think that's a pretty fair summary of their concept.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what strategies would be used to get to that goal,
mm-hmm.
that's a different matter. But that was the goal, and probably a rather reasonable concept.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then you have to deal with human nature and all of these other institutions who have their local boards, traditions, alumni, faculty, associations, and so forth, which mm-hmm. is difficult to weigh the value of these.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the ministers, because he was a pastor in the city at that time at one of the Baptist churches of the city, large one, was also an Old Testament professor at Southern Baptist Seminary. That was Dr. Henry Leo Edelman, who styled himself as H. Leo Edelman. And he was very much of that group.
Uh-huh.
And they were compadres about this. And while the Louisville components of the board did not comprise the whole committee that was looking for a president,
mm-hmm.
they were a major factor in that by just the coincidence of the way the board had been set up.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that two and quite possibly three of that, this is approximate, I think seven-member committee, and all this is subject to being corrected by research, that was doing the search.
Mm-hmm.
But they were unified in that concept. And ultimately, their view prevailed, and Dr. Edelman was appointed as president.
Okay. So the presidential search was basically focused, I mean, the way the political makeup was, when they were searching for a new president, they were looking for somebody to implement their designs.
Well, not the committee as a whole, but a strong component of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely that, and they appointed a man who was one with them in that view.
Okay.
So, anyway, now of course he was chosen to become president of Georgetown College. And he quite publicly said so and properly sought to be so.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't make it known that on his agenda was to move the college.
No, there was no stated agenda except to make Georgetown College, you know, all the proper things,
sure.
You could say, the best in the state and the best, so on and so on. And he was a tireless person, great energy, who worked night and day,
uh-huh.
drove himself hard, drove his cars very fast, often got tickets, and so on. The Green Hornet, they called the Green Pontiacs. And his cars were given to him by a Baptist trustee who had ownership, and so he pretty well.
Mr. Cook?
Well, it's one of the cooks in Louisville.
Yeah.
The Pontiacs, they were.
Yeah.
And there's another cook brother in Lexington, I believe, and so Chevrolets.
But yeah.
Anyway, this is the Louisville side. And there was some there's close association there. There was another friend of Dr. Edelman's, and this is, and then the Highballs, to name a couple of other families, were very much under his influence,
mm-hmm.
and he was well acquainted with them, and they thought highly of him. But in any case, he was here for a little over 4 years, as you know, and was introduced on the campus in the end of May, or at the time of graduation in 1954, that spring, and was inaugurated that autumn,
mm-hmm.
but began serving from that time forward. But it became, now let me leave the general summary to say, I was a faculty member, and there were others. Now, several of us were particularly involved with activities which carried, which extended our work on the campus into the state.
Mm-hmm.
Among these being people who did choirs and ensembles that sang, who had a reputation, and part of the training experience was to move out and to be not only in Kentucky but beyond.
Yeah.
A wonderful and appropriate activity. And in my case, the speech and drama department had evolved, was evolving, and had evolved by then a touring religious drama program. This is all distinct from the on-campus program, and that would be true with the music people too. They have their on-campus dimensions to this too. And these ensembles, plus the debate people, there were several of these groups,
mm-hmm.
Had wide exposure, wide contacts, and indirectly served as great ambassadors for the state, for the college,
yeah.
While they were also performing their own training and so on. And therefore they had reputation,
mm-hmm.
audiences and friends. Or in the Greek sense, they had political factor there of loyalty to them.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, in moving about the state and appearing at, say, a church for a weekend, mm-hmm. doing a performance, be it a choir, whatever, several of us, you see, would get feedback from lay people mm-hmm. there, who would say, well, you know, your president was here last month and he spoke about the necessity of moving Georgetown College to Louisville.
Yeah.
Or the necessity of moving, of combining all Baptist education into a great university.
Uh-huh.
And he would speak of it being named Georgetown.
Yeah.
Because he was staying loyal to that dimension, there's no doubt of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we also learned that the language was handled, which is good politics in another sense of politics, in different ways in different places.
Uh-huh.
So that if you're in another area, we would learn, one of the choir people told me this, where they were a place where there was a small Baptist institution, they were told that it would be a way to transform that one into a very large center for Baptist education,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So eventually one began to get dots on the chart.
Yeah.
Sometimes we would connect the dots according to this or that rumor.
Okay.
And particularly when other things were transpiring at different levels, a consensus began to appear, and then at the end of the first year he was here, that there was another game afoot. And then in interviews with faculty, and he never talked, faculty salaries, ranks, and so forth, were closely held cards, if you'll pardon the metaphor,
yeah.
to his vest.
Yeah.
And he personally administered these and played these in one-on interviews. And it gradually became known that certain people had been talked to about their willingness to go to Georgetown in Louisville. And if they were open-minded about this and or enthusiastic, they were given larger increases. Not that they were ever very large but they, at the time, but they got more than others.
Yeah.
You know how that would work in the faculty circles and the coffee club.
Sure.
And so forth. So by such devious, unreliable, unscientific, and quite possibly fairly accurate insights that you cannot quantify,
mm-hmm.
people became aware of other things being afoot. Now, there came a time, this went on a while,
mm-hmm.
then there came a time when the state committee, I'm shifting focus.
Yes.
The state, the Kentucky, whatever they call that overall committee, not the board of Georgetown,
mm-hmm.
but the overall committee.
It was a specially appointed commission of the Kentucky Baptist Convention to study the
okay.
educational system.
Well, that came out of that, okay, that group, whatever they called it.
Uh-huh.
You've got, okay, it was that group.
Okay.
And it was like 25 or 40 people, I think. It was a pretty good sized group. They were persuaded to employ a major research firm from Chicago, Booz Allen Hamilton, as a matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
To make a study of the system for Baptists in the state. And they did so, and under that authorization, Dr. Edelman, as president of the senior college, my understanding is, pretty well directed that search.
Mm-hmm.
He informed them and discussed the parameters, and they reported to him. This went on a year.
Mm-hmm.
Their report, when it came, you understand the world at large didn't know this. Certainly the faculty club didn't know this. But one by one, these bits came out. They evolved a massive report that I understand is about 2 inches thick.
Oh.
I've not seen it. Very few people ever saw it.
And it's still around.
And it would be possibly in the archives in Middletown.
Yeah.
Possibly. If it's any place, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was made for that committee,
mm-hmm,
that you referred to. And in essence, it recommended, we now know, that the committee recommend to the association that certain institutions be closed, that others be built up as regional feeder institutions,
mm-hmm,
to serve a new state or Baptist, Kentucky Baptist University in Louisville, and that the logical one to take the lead on that would be Georgetown, in order to preserve the various accreditations, so it would be in Georgetown's name. And by that time, they had formed a Georgetown extension in Louisville.
Yeah, I've read that.
On the highball land that had been noticed, now certain connections are here.
Mm-hmm.
And that this would grow to a time when it would then become whatever it would become, possibly Georgetown University,
uh-huh,
at Louisville, or Kentucky Baptist. But they could not change the name until such time as certain... whatever. It was the name and accreditation were holding Georgetown close to this.
Yeah.
So that it could be said, this is in a lawyer's sense of language,
yeah,
that Georgetown College was being built up while at the same time the other was being developed in their name.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm telling you already, I'm interpreting already on top of what...
That's fine.
But that went inside. That report, in essence, was confined to that group. And they received the report, I understand, accepted it, and then were going to recommend it to the General Association,
mm-hmm,
for adoption. And I think they got the report in like the August before the meeting in November.
Yeah.
And that there was no intention to publicize this at large, other than just within the general agenda, note that the committee was recommending the adoption of such and such a report.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do understand from more recent researches, which I did not know then, that the report was being prepared to be sent to ministers, Baptist pastors, of this day. I presume the pastor rather than, say, music minister. That particular minister, probably,
head of the church.
As head of the local church.
Yeah.
These were perhaps sent along. If so, it must have been in like early October or so, a scant month before. Because that was in process when sometime in, the report was given in late August, so this is probably October, took a while to do all this, sometime in September, Ora Spade, a reporter at the Louisville Courier-Journal concerned with affairs of churches and religion,
mm-hmm,
obtained a copy of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't know how that came about. But he was well connected, and it could be that one of the people in the Baptist world who wanted this to happen there wanted it to be given to them.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But anyway, I can't imagine any of those people sort of leaking it to
them. No.
But it became a front page story.
Mm-hmm.
Not only once, but several times. It was thoroughly analyzed and hit the paper, it hit the state, which in turn then led to the fueling of major newspaper releases in Campbellsville,
mm-hmm,
Cumberland, wherever there was a Baptist school, and of course Lexington and Georgetown,
mm-hmm,
etc., which was really before the pastors had seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best of timing for certain plans.
Yes.
apparently the concept was this would simply be washed through and adopted peaceably without disturbance. Now I'll back off and say I also understand somewhat in that time I was hearing this because of the touring programs of choirs and drama, but especially choirs, they had several groups out.
Yeah.
But also the drama side. That certain local institution presidents, some of these institutions had been courted and encouraged to be involved in the shape of the future and have a part in this, and that their positions and the institutional name would be preserved, which legally was essential in terms of endowments, to be sure.
Yeah.
But presumably the legalities of each would very likely have to be litigated, I'm pretty certain.
Yeah.
But can these funds be transferred, whatever, from a place, or were they given to a name, or to the name in the place? All that would have to be sorted. Obviously, there's complication here. But they were involved and were more amenable to the idea that there would be more funding and that their institutions would prosper.
Mm-hmm.
The details were not... It was a kind of pie-in-the-sky approach. And there was a general warm feeling. And the Booz Allen Hamilton matter, which was interviewed with each of them, was seen as a part of this and fed a larger hope for greater resources and a brighter future, which was dashed when the Courier-Journal papers appeared. And they got tuned into a larger picture which related to other institutions than their own. Now that's probably about half accurate. That's about what I know today in 2002. After that, it's a local game. And as a history buff, you will very likely know the observation I'm going to make of the famous speaker of the House in Washington that all politics is local.
Tip O'Neill's remark. Right.
And all politics is local. And I can now say that in Georgetown, where there's a great deal of information available, from that time, from the middle September on, front page, even to the point, virtually, it seemed to me like special edition, or at least that kind of scope of headline, like a 2-inch headline.
Yeah.
Which would never seem normal, you'd have little half-inch headlines in the major stories. And you had a cooperation in the town with the student association, funds given from the one side by people in Georgetown to help pay for postage and printing, and some 600 or 700 of the students became active volunteers in an ad hoc extension of the organization, which worked out of Anderson Hall.
Oh,
and a biology professor, last name Shacklett, very capable man, a very, very capable man, who was also resident, what would you say, dean, father, paternus, local father to the dorm, etc.
Okay.
But he took, under his leadership, and he had lots of smarts and experience in organizing, and they organized, and they wrote, and they mimeographed, and they posted and they did mailing lists. They reached thousands of people associated with Georgetown, their families, the Alumni Association weighed in, the Historical Association weighed in, the Women's Association weighed in, the Chamber of Commerce, the Kiwanis. All of these groups were coming into this with funds coming to help pay for this. That was just from here. You can be certain this went on at Campbellsville. It was an enormous grassroots stir. So much so that the state structure was not prepared to handle the people who were going to show up at Elizabethtown in November. So
the showdown was going to come at the state convention.
State convention, which is in Severn Valley Baptist Church in Elizabethtown that November. But so the churches had to limit their delegates, or churches were limited to...
Every church is given a maximum delegates, depending on the membership.
For the first time, this became very important, because sometimes they don't have a little trouble getting to their maximum to attend the conference for several days, for obvious reasons. It would be through the week and lay people. And so, but this time, everyone was packed out and they had to turn people who were going to be delegates, so that people just went along as observers. And the general estimate of attendance based on reading Courier Journal, Western Recorder, and other reports is that where they might draw 800 or 900 people, they drew nearly 2,800 there. It overflowed all numbers of rooms to only hear over speakers and so forth. That was the measure of excitement that day.
Do you think Campbellsville and Cumberland took advantage of this situation to push their agenda to become senior colleges?
There was an interesting the answer is yes. But they were beyond the junior college even then,
uh-huh.
because the left hand sometimes does not know what the right foot is doing.
Right.
And in the previous year, both of those began to move to be four-year college by approval of the state.
I see.
Which had been even the year before that was authorized, so then the next year they were having a junior class here.
Uh-huh.
And when this came, at this time, the senior class was just starting.
Yeah.
Authorized. At war with this concept.
Uh-huh.
So they had great reason to resist being cut back.
Yeah.
It added on is always popular. Taken away is something else.
Yes.
Well, anyway, there's blood then. And I am certain that what happened here happened in the same places, a massive organization.
Mm-hmm.
And telephone wires disintegrated in heat. who knows, whatever. But they were there and were very effective. Now, I understand that the report suggested that both of those be preserved as institutions, but the report was not up to date with that reality. It was looking on them still as junior colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And by implication, in the long run, Georgetown would have remained, would have become a feeder place. Cumberland. And then there was talk in that of one in Western Kentucky, mm-hmm. because the logic of the map and that concept would tell you that it's like in miniature the state system of California or whatever.
Yeah.
So all of that was projected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was dealt with. Of course, this was but a plan. Those who were trying to preserve the concept I was referring to earlier,
mm-hmm.
that there was obviously some logic to this and some merit. But they were trying to keep some of it alive, lest the whole house be burned down in the reaction. The house was burned down.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what happened. But what really, I think, really went wrong for that larger vision to be looked at dispassionately,
mm-hmm. and
by others or myself too, is the methods used, the secrecy, the years of speaking one thing here and another there,
mm-hmm.
the manipulation, which is contrary to the concept of Baptist practice or American practice or democratic practice in general, the methods undid the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And
once the truth was revealed.
And the truth and what was coming out is that it was apparently being held as a close secret to be slipped through.
Uh-huh.
And then very likely it would have slowly evolved had it been adopted.
Uh-huh.
And would have been modified on the way from here to the bank.
Uh-huh.
Time and again, I imagine, okay, one can imagine all kinds of possibilities that would be difficult here.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, they had already started at the other end to receive. They had a land. And there were other plans for expansion, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now the outcome of that lay in the future then. We know that did not turn out well either, ultimately.
Yeah.
But the hope there was that there would have been, and fundamentally the Georgetown Extension, which operated for a couple of years before it moved to become a different mm-hmm. institution. Faculty from here traveled there, and that was but a transition. It meant to be the beginning. It was bridge building is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But the bridge didn't go anyplace eventually.
What was the, when the report came out, the Courier Journal report came out, what was the reaction of the faculty? I mean, we already know about Shanklin's.
It was, yes, Shacklett.
Yeah.
Well, it was the usual division into three schools.
Okay.
Those who were outraged, for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
Because of the methods, because they loved it here, Because of local associations, so many of the faculty here have deep community roots from more than one generation.
Mm-hmm.
So you had all of that working. Then you had those who were sort of in between and didn't quite know what to make of it.
Yeah.
And you had some who were advocates. But the advocate group was clearly much smaller than the others.
Mm-hmm.
And as this was either distorted in the heat of the moment by passion or misunderstandings, but fundamentally, people really knew much more about it than the leadership thought they knew, even though they knew
because the bits and pieces started filtering in through the faculty.
They have their own life.
Yeah.
Again, there's several years of things grow. So some were not at all surprised, but that's how this. There was, as I remember, of all the faculty meetings I went to in 8 years at Georgetown and 7 years at another institution later, at Sydney College of Louisiana, a very fine little liberal arts college, slightly larger than Georgetown, but in the same tradition, Methodist school. The only faculty meeting I remember of all of them was this one at Georgetown, which was the faculty meeting that was just shortly before the meeting in Elizabethtown. And people there who had been on the fence spoke and spoke clearly.
Mm-hmm.
They had analyzed. Intelligence had been applied to this because the whole thing had been printed in the Quaker Journal.
Yeah.
And
I need to get this thing. Okay.
Anyway, by the time of this faculty meeting in that November, there had been 5 or 6 weeks exposure to the media and a chance to reflect and to look. And there were people, Dr. Carl Fields of the History Department, for example, who was a man who was very careful about his speech,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted things to work, very positive man. Dr. Fields rose and made an absolutely objective, quiet analysis of point by point, and then clearly delineating those points that were really fantasy,
mm-hmm.
and those that had some basis. And in just recent conversation with someone who was at the same meeting with I, refreshed memories,
uh-huh.
we both remember this very clearly. And the...
Dr. Hambrick?
Yes. You said. And others too.
Mm-hmm.
And a lady the other day at lunch was recalling some aspects of this.
Okay.
And Dr. Edelman always handled himself very well with those meetings, but in this case he, under the pressure from one gentleman who kept wanting to say that the language does not say this, the language says,
mm-hmm.
ultimately was rather abrupt and said, that's all right, old man. That's enough, old man. That's enough, old man.
Yeah. Dr. Edelman said that to Dr. Jones, W.B.
Jones. That's right. Now, and another lady, you know, he said, don't you trust me to the faculty? Because he could see there was anything but trust there. And one lady in the faculty said, but why don't you trust us? And, you know, trust is, with children as with animals, is a matter of intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And children and animals are unerring in this. And adults are too. Eventually, once we take off all the intellectual layers and rationalizations, we too have that same ability if we will but know when it's there,
mm-hmm.
and not discount it. That was the reality. By then, there was and those who were for, there was a faculty vote then. And it was overwhelmingly, and it was a public vote, too, not a secret vote, which again, one could have arguments both ways about that.
Yeah.
But I should imagine private vote, now I think more would have been opposed than it was, but people had to stand.
Yeah.
And they stood. And my recollection is it was 2/3 to 3/4 opposed. And there were a few who had the nerve to stand, since the pressure was then on them, very few, and a few others who even then sat out. But that's the way that particular group. Meanwhile, within the Alumni Association had weighed in a couple of weeks before and issued a statement, and the Georgetown Women's Association had, and all of these groups, and the student body, by the way, the Georgetonian, which was edited then by a very able student, Carol Hubbard, whose father was a good friend of the president and was an advocate in Louisville, of this as a minister there. The Georgetonian chose to not cover the issue at all for 6 weeks, which was a very politic thing to do. It was the only real story on campus for years. I mean, real story in the sense of world interest.
Yeah.
And they totally ignored it until it was over. Then it was the Kentucky Baptist reject, and then Dr. Elliman leaves. Which is very interesting.
Isn't that something?
But anyway, it was...
And this took place in 58.
This was 1958.
Okay.
This was the fall of 58 into the November time.
Now, did the... I can't remember the date. Did the Board of Trustees meet before the...
They had also met before this.
Okay.
And most of them had known nothing of this. This is what I mean about the methods used undid many people who would have been neutral or more objective.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a general perception that they had been, that matters had been underhand and indirect. And specifically, that was the understanding here. And a few of the people on the state committee, one in Lexington, I think, valiantly made an effort to defend it, a public statement.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell he was wavering.
Yeah.
And when it got to the convention, which I attended as an observer, they didn't need me as a delegate. They had lots of delegates. They had people beating on the door to be delegates. But anyway, as I recall, and that was a standing vote, and they counted, as they should have, that kind of vote. And as I recall, I don't know how many people were authorized to vote. It was probably 900 or 800 or something were real delegates who had to wear certain insignia.
Credentials.
Otherwise, visitors would look just like a dignitary. And anyway, some were dignitaries and others just stood under dignity. You know, the Winston Churchill remark, he never knew any man who stood in his dignity and went anywhere. Anyway, as I recall, there were only 30 or 35 votes for
the
adopting that report.
Yeah.
And I later heard that far less than half of the committee to whom it had been made voted for it.
I see.
So lots of people change votes for all the reasons people change votes.
Right.
Dissuaded, uneasy.
Public pressure.
Public
standing
pressure,
up was
standing,
on.
Yeah, whatever, and whatever. But it was pretty thin.
Uh-huh.
And... now, it's all the difference between concept, which is one thing on paper, and then the perception of how it was undertaken.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And particularly so, it seemed to me then, and does in retrospect, at the college, because there was an elaborate series of almost a triple game going on, it seemed to me, now in retrospect, and with some things I find at that time.
Mm-hmm.
There was the official, then there was the subterranean working to build the consensus for this move, and then there was the game of obfuscation to conceal this or to conceal this.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this one young person and her fiancé, but she was in one of the productions, stage productions we were doing at the time, and they had been home, which I think happened to be Elizabethtown in this case, doesn't matter, you know, for the weekend of his family, and went to church, and Dr. Edelman was the guest minister, and he preached about the need to have the greater university and Georgetown and Louisville is the obvious center and all.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back reporting this, and this is what happened in detail for 3 years in different ways. But I remember their saying this, and on that very next day, like the Tuesday, they came back and reported this on the Monday from the day before. On the Tuesday, the president issued a denial of saying such thing from another quarter of the state when challenged. He said, no, it's all for Georgetown.
Uh-huh.
It's that kind of...
Yeah.
That's what fed this here. Plus the... and then related to this, it's hard to figure just where it figured into it, but related to this man who was so dedicated and so certain of himself and his mission, was a constant sort of gnawing at the campus life, the activities, the having Catholic music instead of hymns from choir.
Huh.
And such things as that.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, he was Bach. He was a Catholic.
Edelman?
Yes. But I mean from the presidential side. This sort of smiling at the event, but then later making or preaching against.
Okay, okay.
I mean, people are quick to read this.
Yeah. In other words, he was talking now on both sides of his mouth.
Oh, or three times, or maybe a mouth here and there. I don't know. But it was a very interesting. So there wasn't, this is what I meant earlier when I said, in many cases the students were miles ahead of what the administration leadership thought they were in this regard.
Uh-huh.
And some of the faculty were too.
Mm-hmm.
Now the faculty who lived only here and only attended here and only noticed what they heard would tend to be, you know, indifferent or unperturbed. But this sort of thing went on. And moreover, in time, the way certain events were renamed, and the BSU was particularly encouraged to duplicate and replicate music groups to have their own in competition with, and likewise to do plays in competition with. And it's very interesting. That's way out in the outer edges, but that is where students particularly notice. That, and this in turn did not print well with people who were aware of the college. As for the future of this, the thrust seemed to be very sectarian, and increasingly so. To sum it up.
Did Edelman speak at the convention?
No, he was not seen.
He was not seen.
He was not seen. He was there, listening in a room.
But he wasn't on the floor.
Oh, no, he was not visible during the sessions, but he was there.
Interesting.
There was a meeting with some of the committee, or the committee the night before. It was reported in the Western Recorder, and he was there. But he was there, but not ever to speak for it.
What about the...
Two people spoke for it, and there must have been... Ultimately, they had to rule it out. Five or six spoke against, and Elizabethtown.
The two people who spoke for it, were they members of the Georgetown trustees?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So the trustees...
Because by then, the trustees were overwhelmingly opposed to this.
Yeah.
Now, Senator John Sherman Cooper was a trustee.
Right.
He didn't think about it when he arrived. And Mr. Porter? First name?
Ira.
Ira Porter, right. And remembering, in whose building honor we now sit.
Yeah.
Banker, very responsible, long-term association. He knew there was interest in Louisville to do something, and he knew that Georgetown, you know, they did, they knew the official things, that Georgetown had an extension there.
Right.
How could you resist that? You know, that was fine.
Right.
And also taught night classes in other places around Central Kentucky, too. Anyway, but he had no concept of this until it hit in the Courier Journal.
Yeah. What about after the vote in Elizabethtown? Of course, that put a black eye on his administration, Edelman's administration.
Well, he was He accepted another position in about 48 hours. Okay. He had already covered his tracks.
Okay.
Yeah.
He knew what was...
Back to seminary.
So that position...
He was elected... He was elected to that presidency approximately... Was he that meeting? I don't remember the day of the week that the conference was held in Elizabethtown.
Mm-hmm. It was probably in November.
It was in that month.
Yeah.
But it was like on a Wednesday or a Thursday or maybe a Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
But that weekend, it was one of the Georgetown papers, the News, I think it was, maybe both the Times and the News, but the News would come out one day different. One of them had Kentucky Baptists reject, however they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Other headline, Dr. Edelman offered position.
Oh.
So that was known in a day in Elizabethtown that he was had another position offered. And by the end of that week, this is where the days of the week may have some relevance,
uh-huh.
he was elected by the board in New Orleans. Stayed here through December, a month.
Okay.
Started there January 1, 59.
Very good.
And just a final note, it is also clear that this man had such certitude about what he did and commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Would, let us say, write. He did lots of personal notes. He was very good with this about people.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of his ways of working with people. He would write personal notes constantly to board members.
Excuse me. I need to start that again.
Sure, you need to do that.
Go ahead.
Was it running?
Yes.
Well, in one occasion, and actually several, but in one particular occasion I'm remembering, a play was given, and the president wrote a note to a lady who was on the board, who was a former student of Miss Calhoun's,
mm-hmm.
and told her what a lovely play it was and how pleased they were. This lady knew another board member, since she was on the board,
mm-hmm.
a lady friend of hers in another part of the state, and happened to be calling on her at about the same time,
mm-hmm.
asking if she'd seen the play that had such a lovely note praising from Dr. Edelman. Well, said, you did? Well, the note he wrote to me was anything but that, and he wrote a note absolutely condemning it and blasting it to her.
Uh-huh.
That's when, if there was any doubt, certain board members then began to be. And this lady was very inclined to be. They were both inclined to be for Georgetown.
Right.
She was very personally loyal, too.
Dr.
But eventually was one of those in there. I don't know what the vote was in the board, but I said it was overwhelming rejection of it, which, of course, was a real rejection of him.
Of the proposal to move to Georgetown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They immediately... strong statement against that, and keeping Georgetown right in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed, I don't remember the number, but I've noticed the vote in the trustees' minutes.
That would suggest, if not the detail, it would suggest the outcome.
Yeah.
And you would know more about that than I.
Yeah.
You know, I understand it was overwhelming, mm-hmm. I guess. Well, I don't know, would anybody vote for it, or do you?
I can't remember right now. I don't think there was hardly any person.
Well, hardly might have been, but not much.
Yeah.
Or it wouldn't have been.
No, Dr. Hambrick was telling me that when you look into this, you need to pay attention to the groupings for where they were from.
Sure.
The trustees were from.
That's right.
About that time.
That's right. It was a fragmenting
mm-hmm.
kind of time. But it was the methods relationship,
right?
And the way this fed into student life and into faculty, which was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a kind of screening, and I wouldn't go so far as to say it was an inquisition approach,
mm-hmm.
but it had the scent of inquisition about it.
Sounded like it was almost Machiavellian,
Machiavellian.
That's well said.
Mm-hmm. And
it's that tradition.
Strategy, anyway.
It is not unknown in the world. It's the Ayatollah complex, we might call it today, which is always in the name of God and high ends, and always well intended. There's no doubt of that.
Uh-huh.
No doubt of that. But it's quite often so tunnel vision. It's laser, and lasers can burn.
Really, it's, and in that way, you're really, from a spiritual standpoint, you're really excluding God from the whole process.
Well, it's a great assumption that you...
You know either, better.
You are, or he was very fond in many prayers, and other people spoke in the chapel to refute what they'd said in his public prayers,
mm-hmm.
would often use the phrase, as I said earlier this morning, of,
yes.
We know that you know, so forth and
mm-hmm.
so forth. No, it is a well-known.
Yeah.
It was still a pleasant place. I'm not embittered about,
yes.
about the place. I'm still fascinated by how this could come about. But it undid itself, even if possibly it should not have, had it been handled in a wiser way, less rushed and less secretive.
Mm-hmm.
More time spent in persuasion. Chauncey Daly, the editor of the Western Recorder, which to me is a good way to conclude my remarks about this,
yes.
had an observation, which is that he learned early on, he said, that it takes a year to say howdy to Kentucky Baptists. You can hardly close and or move seven or eight deeply rooted education institutions in 6 weeks.
Uh-huh. Very true.
Well, anyway, I don't know how all that is. Most of that is opinion. But
yeah, but it's...